yours too. Life can be so sweet on sunny Saturday Street. I used to be in shape with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
The plant called and said, if you don't come in tomorrow, don't bother coming in Monday.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend!
Crossed over. If I ever have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on sunny side of the street.
Space cowboy, yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love.
Some people call me the guy filling in for Frank this week. At least 4 out of the 5 days.
Talk about me,
yeah, some
baby.
People.
Some people call me the guy that we can't wait to get rid of because Frank will be back on Monday. He and Dan and Ian return from their trip with Dan and Frank's trip to the Dominican Republic. Scott Sherman. Don't worry, tomorrow Paul Harris will be here. But thank you so far for the first 3 days, and I'm looking forward to this Thursday, the 4th, not the 4th of February, but the 4th of my week, at the helm of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. That was the voice of Tim Weiland. 37 years in this business, sir. How are you?
41.
You're 41?
No, 41 years in the business. Hey, I'm doing fine. Hi, Scott.
Just enough time to be a voiceover guy.
Little inside joke there, right?
Maybe so. That laugh, David Solomon, a real human being, actually laughs like that. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing great, Scott. Good to be with you, Tim, and all of you listening today.
David has done a fantastic job, as has Tim this week. So did Max when he filled in on Tuesday, I believe. I'm here for just one more day this week, and guess what? We have a great show. We have a great show. You know why? Hour number one, we get to talk to John Londoff Jr. He wasn't here yesterday, but that means double barrel action with our friend from Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. He will be with us about half an hour, 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes.
15, 20 minutes.
And hour number three, we'll get to talk to Mike Evans. He's been in a fantastic mood. How about 4 in a row, Weiland? Can that happen?
Him being in a good mood?
Yep.
Yeah.
Putting him
double
down on that.
He's been pretty interesting.
And hour number two. Do we have anything? Anybody know?
I've got a few legal questions that I'll...
Wait a minute. That's right.
I know somebody that's been arrested, and he wants to know. Oh, that's right.
Smarty Pants lawyer Scott Sherman will be here in hour number two. Wait a minute. That's me.
It is.
We'll do our regular legal segment. This side of the law, I think, is what Frank has called it. Certainly named after the Johnny Cash song that bears its name as the theme song. We'll take your questions in hour number two, your legal questions, and maybe a little bit more. It's been really fun and a great honor for me the last year and a half to do that. And it's Thursday. We don't have a sponsor, but I am ready as I can be and willing and able to go in hour number two. Bill Cleveland also, probably going to be a 5:15 deal for Bill, because the audience has had such a great response. It's not me. It's the audience. We've had also a great response so far this week. Thank you to everybody for reaching out, as they say in the sales world. I don't know what that means, but emailing or texting the words of encouragement were fantastic. And had a lot of fun so far. Let's keep it going. David, we have developed our own vault sign since we don't have the key to the Large Morning Show vault. Why don't we do another Burke segment? We're opening it.
Man, this thing hadn't been used in years.
Yeah. They got it from Air Force Surplus for NORAD.
American Pickers. Yeah. Found it in some guy's barn all rusted out. You know those people are hoarders, right? I mean, they're not not the American Pickers guys, but the people whose houses and farms they go to. That's just garbage that happens to be worth something that people, they need help.
Yeah.
It's an interesting show, but those people, they have a show called Hoarders, and their houses and pole barns, as we call them in Michigan and other things, they just look like that.
Yeah.
My dad kind of has a house.
Yeah.
when it's expensive, I guess it's rusty gold. Otherwise, it's rust. Does anyone, the Burke segment. You guys know it, but for anybody that's a novice to the show or isn't familiar with this particular segment, Frank's favorite teacher, his history teacher, Mr. Burke, would have a version of show and tell to try and see if people were on the ball. And he would throw out a question that has developed onto this program over the years, with the following query: does anyone have anything to say?
I don't. I'm empty today.
It's the fourth day, Wyland. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I know. I did all right on
David
the other
Solomon,
three.
Do you have anything to say?
Nothing specific other than it's been a great run so far, and I'm looking forward to what we have going today.
Good night, everybody. I do.
I know. And
I've got my hand up.
I'm very interested in
I'm
that.
Calling on myself.
Okay.
Smarty Pants lawyer guy. What do you have to say? I saw this across the AP wire, and I saw it on some of the TV news programs. There was a development in science that I think is interesting. And just so you know, I'm not a scientist. I'm fascinated by science, and I've always liked it. I think Carl Sagan, who did a show called Cosmos back in the 1970s and early 80s.
He was the man.
The time when you would wear all brown. You'd have a brown sport coat, you'd have a big brown tie, and then you'd have some kind of an off-white shirt. This guy, Carl Sagan, made science really interesting
to me.
Yes,
he did.
And also, I thought it was not as fascinating, but accessible. I went on not to be particularly good at math, which eliminated me from medicine and science. But I've always been fascinated with the idea of what's out there. What's out there beyond our
Earth.
Visual abilities to see? Earth, our solar system, the cosmos, the Milky Way, the other galaxies. That stuff boggles in my mind and fascinates me. And so there's a story that came out yesterday that astronomers have apparently found a solar system that is not far from us. Now, just so you know, light years, I know the light speed from Star Wars. So I guess if you're moving at the speed of light, that would be how long it would take if you were moving at the speed of light to get to a particular place. Most of the stuff that's out there in outer space that's beyond our solar system is like billions and billions of years away. That's a Carl Sagan.
There's a Carl Sagan.
He's dead, so we can do that. And just right in the neighborhood, relatively speaking, is a solar system called TRAPPIST-1. It's named after the star TRAPPIST-1, and it's only 40 light years away. Not 40 million, not 40,000, 40 light years away. And this TRAPPIST-1, I don't want to get into too much science because I'm not a scientist. I did take an astronomy class in college. It's the last class I had to take, and I took it the year that they launched the Hubble telescope, 1990, the spring. And I did learn a little bit about how astronomers look into a telescope and measure how far stuff is away and what this thing is and what that thing is and what this, you know, Milky Way and all that, most of which I forgot. But 40 light years away is, it's like, I don't know, we're at Westport. It's like the QT that's over on Macklin. You know, you can, it's like, it's a little kind of far to walk to it, but you can pretty much see it from here. So they've been looking, they scientists have been looking forever to try and find, not, I guess they're looking for life on other planets, but what they're really looking for is the setup for life on other planets.
Right.
We are the third rock from the sun, right? That's from the TV show. But we
yes.
really are, and our sun is big, and we're a certain distance from it, and because of that, and the size of our planet, and all of that, we've got the elements. We win the lottery, the space lottery for life on Earth. So that's awesome. We're fantastic, Earth. As far as we know, we're the only ones here, unless you know, kind of space visitor, UFO conspiracy person,
yeah.
Whatever. This place, this TRAPPIST-1 star, this star, the sun of TRAPPIST-1, is way smaller than our sun. It's like a tenth the size. And it's way less hot. It's like half the temperature. So how could a what's called a red dwarf star, it's red because it's red, and it's dwarf because it's small, how could such a thing sustain life on Earth? Well, according to this astronomer, Michel Guillon, or as they would call him in North County, Michael Gillen, from Belgium, he and everybody like him until recently has been looking all over the sky trying to find a sun that's like ours, ignoring for decades, if not generations, this red dwarf star as the possibility of having the ability to have life sustaining qualities. Well, these seven planets, I got pictures of them here, and if you just Google this stuff, of course, do it at 6:01 and do it before the big sports show at 6:30 with Jim Huer and Brendan Weesey. They look a lot like Earth. They're green and blue and white, and they're kind of about the same size as ours. They're about the same mass as ours, but they're much closer to this red dwarf star, this TRAPPIST-1, than we are from our sun. And the theory is, and this just came out yesterday, so, you know, don't beat everybody up yet, but according to a couple smart people, Thomas Zurbuchen, associate administrator at NASA, it's like a, you know how some things are not rocket science?
Yeah.
That guy's like rocket science. He's exactly like rocket science because he's a rocket scientist. And then also Sarah Seeger, who is a planetary science and physics professor at MIT. That's a smart people school. They say, wow, we've been looking in the wrong place. These things, these seven planets, at least four of them. Now, maybe one of them's too close to this red dwarf, and a couple of them are too far away. They might just have the right winning combination of lottery numbers in space and in science to have the elements to support water like we have. And if that's the case, who knows? Maybe they got they have life.
I still... And like I said, I kind of start reading that article, and then I read these papers here, and I get it. I'm not a physicist. I don't understand the mathematics and everything. I'd like to know how they... All they do is they pinpoint a star, and then they look for like a little blip, dip in the light. And it's so far away. I mean, you're talking about a light year. A light year, what I'm looking up here... is the amount of time a light travels in 1 year in a vacuum, and that's 6 trillion miles, and that's 40 light years away. And what I want to know, I can understand them seeing if something passes in front of that sun, it kind of dims the light a little bit, but how do they know how far it is from the sun, and how that's what boggles my mind. We're so far away.
They taught us this in college. And if I had any kind of memory, and with what I did in college, it's surprising I can remember being there. It was based on mathematical formulas where you take measurements and you know certain properties about how fast light travels, for instance, and how far away something we know where it is, and how light that thing is. And they know. And if they didn't know, we wouldn't have been able to get rockets up in space in the first place. So, as I will never try to explain it, but they have some mathematical formulas. Apparently what they've done is they've been looking in the wrong place. It's like when you lose your house key or something, and you or your glasses, and you just keep looking at every place that you possibly logically could look. Hey, I was at the grocery store, you know, you know, I went to the post office, I did this, and I did that. Did you think about looking under the mattress? No, why would I do that? I would never leave my keys under the mat. And you look under there, and there they are. Now, that doesn't mean that these are the keys, that these are the keys to life on other planets or that there's life on these planets. But what it is a new kind of way to look at it. I'm no scientist. I mean, I've been looking at any of this stuff.
You're talking humans.
These astronomers, these smarty pants rocket scientist people have been looking at similar stars to ours. It's almost like Dr. Seuss. And they've been looking at trying to find similar planets to ours in distance and in density and in size for all this time. And as it turns out, they've been wrong. It might just be that a smaller, say, colder star, like it's like a almost like a light bulb, right?
Right.
You got these real those little old fashioned hot light bulbs.
Yeah.
We used to think, well, those are light bulbs. Now you got these light bulbs. You can actually put your hand on the thing.
Yeah.
If you've ever tried to, and I'm sure people have tried to unscrew a light bulb while it's still on, or a halogen light, which you're not supposed to touch at all, you'll burn your skin, man.
LEDs are cool.
Now these LEDs, you can touch them. So if you look at it this way, the old fashioned light bulb, which works just fine, is a lot like our sun. It's hot and it's there. And if it's, these other things are cooler, you can get closer to it. So if these planets are closer to this dwarf, cool dwarf star, they might be able to sustain life just like our hotter star with us being farther away. And what's cool about what they've looked at these particular planets is they don't seem to rotate. It's like they, it takes 365 days to get around the sun, right? That's a year here.
Right.
The year, the average year of one of these other things is like a day and a half. So they're just flying around this little sun.
Hmm.
I guess maybe if there was life, they would be very nauseous. But they also don't spin. Like one day for us is us rotating in a circle. That's why it's light and it's dark. They say that none of these things spin. They just kind of face that sun.
But how do they know that? They can't see that planet. All they can do is, that's what gets me. Artist rendition, okay? A concept. That's what gets me. I believe everything they're saying, but I want to know, how do they know? It's so far away, and you take a planet, it's just a, I mean, it's smaller than a piece of dust compared. How do they know it doesn't spin?
That's where I jump off that explanation train.
Okay.
That's Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye the Science Guy and whoever else is going to play Carl Sagan's job. And that's a really good point. I think it's their job to explain that stuff to us. You know, look, I'm a dummy guy that went to law school and just read and spit back a bunch of stuff, and they handed me this law degree, and I think anybody could have done that, because I don't think it takes a lot of brains to be able to read and, you know, memorize and regurgitate stuff. It takes a lot of hard work. But these people are geniuses, and what I would like is, because I'm falling in line behind you, I don't understand it either. They told me one time, and it seemed to work out okay. I think I got a B+. I don't know. But that was a long time ago. I'm fascinated by this, and it's kind of a point that I would like to make. Elon Musk is a really smart dude. The guy from Tesla Motors.
Right.
And he's got this thing called SpaceX, which is a sort of a space exploration company. It's a private company. Well, they had a launch over the weekend. They haven't used that pad at Cape Canaveral or Cape Kennedy or whatever they call that, like 10 years.
Yeah.
We stopped the space shuttle program. So we have abandoned, I'm in the government. But I think the government, you know, the country has abandoned science. And when I was a kid, and you were, didn't you, people want to be astronauts?
Oh, that, yeah, all, everybody
people
did.
Want to be. Now, my girlfriend has a 6-year-old. He wants to be a professional wrestler, which is fine. And he might just be able to do it and make a good living, but he doesn't have the first clue about wanting to be an astronaut.
Well, we had so much going in the space age, too. You know, all the way into the 90s, we were discovering, whether it be, you know, new planets and Pluto back in 1910s. And I know Pluto, some say it's not a planet, but for our purposes it is. And you had the Voyagers getting the new pictures of the solar systems. We saw planets that had rings that we never knew. It was just so much fascination, so much potential. We were putting teachers in space, and now seems like it's almost an afterthought.
But see, and there you go, David, just what you said there. Okay, so we've got all these powerful telescopes, and we did not know that Neptune had rings from our telescopes. We didn't know that until we sent a spaceship out there. But they're telling us 40 light years away there's a planet that doesn't. I mean, so if we didn't know in our own solar system that something had rings other than Saturn, I'm not doubting anything. I just want to know how they know. How did they figure this out?
I think that's science's fault for not explaining it in a way that people understand. And going from a kid that grew up in the 70s, from the space race of the 1960s, David, do you have Kennedy's little speech there for about the moon. Just I want people to remember if they either remember or hear this, and we don't usually call stuff out, but I think that's cool. But I think that that's the fault of science. It's also the fault of the people that fund NASA, Congress, for not making it a thing and making it exciting. It's unbelievably exciting. I think science and I think space travel. I know that one of my saddest memories of growing up as a kid is being a senior in high school when they did the Space Shuttle Challenger because Christine McAuliffe,
yeah,
who was the first teacher in space, the thing blew up. And then they've had other tragedies. But the dedication to that, and more importantly, like you said, the information and the explanation of it to get either kids excited about science or to educate people, I don't think we're... Well, I might be too dumb to understand this, and I'm not kidding. I'm not really good with math.
Well,
but I would like to hear an inspirational statement like this.
This comes straight from the KTRS broadcast vault. John F. Kennedy at Rice University in 1961.
William Bradford, speaking in 1630 of the founding of the Plymouth Bay Colony, said that all great and honorable actions are accompanied with great difficulty, and both must be enterprised and overcome with admirable courage. If this capsule history of our progress teaches us anything, it is that man in his quest for knowledge and progress is determined and cannot be deterred. The exploration of space will go ahead. Whether we join in it or not, we mean to be a part of it. We mean to lead it. For the eyes of the world now look into space, to the moon, and to the planets beyond. Our leadership in science and industry, our hopes for peace and security, our obligations to ourselves as well as others, all require us to make this effort, to solve these mysteries, to solve them for the good of all men. There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space as yet. Its hazards are hostile to us all. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
That's outstanding. Well done, sir. How inspirational is that? I mean, that's President Kennedy in 1961. Saying that we're going to go to the moon, and he didn't see it, but by 1969, we were on the moon. And even the most cynical people thought that was a great accomplishment. It was sort of inspired by a Cold War and a space race with the Soviets, but a lot of technology is inspired by things like wars and other things. I'd like to see a possibility of a new dedication to science and to certainly space. It's the most exciting thing that we possibly could do. And why don't we have somebody like Mark Kelly, an astronaut whose wife, Gabby Giffords, they tried to kill her in a parking lot in Arizona when she was a congresswoman. Why don't we have somebody like that, the only guy who's part of twins that went to space, along with scientists, do some educating to people like me to explain the questions that folks like Tim have. How do you know that these seven things look the way they do? What is this red dwarf planet? And what does it mean to us? Because even if there is life on this thing, 40 light years away, we're not going to get there. But what does that mean, and how do we put that into context? I think all that is super exciting, super important, and very interesting. And I'd like to see that happen soon. So let's close the vault if we can. There's the Burke segment. Let's open this little tidbit of information.
Meep, meep.
Hey, it's Tim Weiland. He's at the KTRS traffic desk.
All right. It looks like we may have an incident now on westbound 44 near Laclede Station because traffic is backing up almost to Hampton now. We have stop-and-go traffic on eastbound Highway 270 now, a little bit east of McDonald, to about 170, and then things open up after that. Downtown eastbound 40, that is slowing Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kings Highway through McCausland, and southbound 170, we're pretty slow now from Forest Park Parkway down through Highway 40. And this traffic report is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Taking your child's temperature shouldn't be as stressful as fighting through traffic. With the Exergen Temporal Scanner, one gentle forehead scan, that's all it takes. Pick one up at your local club, warehouse, or other fine retailers, Toys R Us, Babies R Us, and other fine retailers today. I'm Tim Weiland from the KTRS Traffic Desk.
Ah, one of my favorite jingles. I remember this one very well. It is Thursday, and we have the honor and opportunity to speak with, oh, this guy is fantastic. Every time he's on, I enjoy it very much. This will be no exception. Welcome back to his regular spot on the Large Morning Show, Mr. John Londoff, Jr.
How y'all doing today?
We're doing great, John. How are you?
Good. I'm doing fantastic. I'm in the car with the hands free, so if I sound a little, hopefully it's coming through loud and clear.
Sounds fantastic. Got a big thumbs up from David Solomon.
It's amazing.
Almost like it's coming from the moon, huh?
Yes.
Better.
Houston?
Even better?
Mm-hmm. Houston, we have a problem. We got too many Chevys on the lot.
We have too many Chevys, but I'm on my way to a little board meeting for St. Louis ARC, which, as you know, this month, we're giving $100 for every new car and used car we sell this month, since it is, I know Valentine's been a few weeks ago, but still, it's the big heart month of February, and who better to help than our friends at St. Louis ARC with the 5,000-6,000 children and adults with disability that they take care of. So get that plug in, because that's where I'm heading. But beautiful weather, which means beautiful deals at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
John, I want to talk a little bit about that. The St. Louis ARC, I mean, what a great organization. I don't know if you remember this. I told you my brother is a Down syndrome adult, and they are just the ultimate kind of just pure love, those kids.
Oh.
And your sister. And
She can't tell me, you know, enough how much you know, she loves me, and it's mutual. I adore her. She's so stinking cute and funny. She's got an unbelievable personality, so she just always makes me smile. And, of course, I try to make her laugh also. She's a little tough sometimes. She doesn't really find my humor the way other people do.
What?
You know, because I'm a brother.
You're hysterical.
I'm a brother.
Come on.
No. I mean, to her, she just looks. She gives me a look. But the best was we were at dinner a while back. And I was sitting next to her, and, you know, Mimi and I and the boys and one of Jackie's awesome St. Louis ARC staff members. And we've been together now for 30 to 40 minutes, and all of a sudden she goes, my sister Jackie, my beloved sister Jackie, she goes, oh, brother, your breath is terrible. And I'm like, what? She goes, yes. But Mimi, don't you have any gum? And then, everyone was laughing hysterically. And then, of course, including myself. I thought it was just it's classic Jackie. But
that's
a great organization. There's a lot of great charities in this town. Unbelievable.
Can I ask you a question about your dad and about the Variety Club? Because back when he founded that or got in charge of that?
No. I think it was a group of business leaders and bankers. I know Joe Simpkins, Leon Newman, and you go back. I mean, I'm thinking of some of the names, but it was basically it used to be a once a year luncheon, and they would raise money, and then they got the idea of Variety Club International is out of London, England, and they got the idea to do a telethon, come on the air at 10 o'clock at night or something, and go until 4 or 5 p.m. On a Sunday afternoon, and go on the air at 10 o'clock on Saturday, and there was a big dinner and a big show before it went on the air, and My dad worked tirelessly. He just was one of his passions in life was helping raise money. He had no idea when he and my mom gave birth to a special needs child that there were so many others. You know, you think I'm the only one. No, there's thousands and thousands, you know, in your community. And of course, across the, you know, across the globe. But yeah, he was pretty revolutionary in wanting to work so hard to help raise money for a variety club. And then, you know, he did his years at Variety Club, and you know, they kind of said, "Hey, we need to probably get some other people in here now as the executive director." He goes, "Okay," and so then he started working tirelessly for St. Louis Children's Hospital, where there's a neonatal wing named after my mom and dad, John and Sylvia Londoff, which is quite an honor.
That's so awesome. Yeah. How did he get Sammy Davis Jr. involved with Variety Club? That's a great story,
man. He just, you know, there's a couple of words in my dad's vocabulary that he just never had, and that was the word no. So if you told him no, he kept going forward. And, you know, stop signs. Not that he was, when he drove, he went through stop signs. But, you know, you know, a lot of great people in life have been told no, no, no. And it just pushes, you know, someone like my dad to do great things. And he was told that there's no way that he'd ever get Sammy Davis Jr. So, you know, Mr. Davis used to come to the Fox Theater. He loved St. Louis, loves Italian food, was a great cook. You know, used to cook for his entire entourage and his group, but long story short, he kept calling and calling and calling and calling, and finally they said Shirley Rhodes, who George Rhodes was the conductor for Sammy Davis's band, she finally called back, and I can't use the words that she used, but she goes, "Who in the bleep bleep are you, and what the bleep bleep do you want with Sammy Davis Jr.?" And somebody just explained the situation. They wanted to have Mr. Davis dispersed the funds at the then Adams Mark, where they would have the telethon, and they did that in things like the week before Thanksgiving, you know, the 135 different charities back then, and so, you know, he got the okay. He'll be there. So they're on stage, you know, with a bunch of other people that are on the board, and I could just tell my dad, who could talk with anybody, could not get any conversation going with Sammy Davis Jr. In essence, he was drowning, so I sent my sister Jackie. I'm like, "Blow Dad a kiss," because we're at a table right below, you know, the stage, and my dad blows a kiss, and he waves her up, so I walk her up to the stage. So her special number was number 3 Bellevue Bakers, where we grew up in Normandy, number 3, so she kissed my dad 1, 2, 3. She shook Sammy Davis's hand, kissed him 3 times, and that was about it. He helped win over her heart, and so finally my dad, and he finally started talking. What he found out was that after a performance, Sammy Davis would cook for his entire group, and there would be like 30 people, and they'd be up until at 2 in the morning, and then he couldn't sleep. He had insomnia, so he had one of those great big traveling trunks, the black trunk that he had custom made for VHS tapes, and he'd stay up and watch old movies all night long. So he was probably working on about 3 hours sleep. So he was exhausted. He was just tired. But you talk about an unbelievable mission, and that is, you know, my dad knew that if he could get Sammy Davis Jr., who had a Down syndrome son from a marriage with Brett Eklund, and he just, you know, they were in the, he said, "Son, it was just two dads who at one point in their life gave birth to a handicapped child and became friends. They became best of friends, but it was about raising money for charity. And one time they were, you know, they took this group that you would raise $100,000 at these luncheons, $75,000 to $100,000. And the first time they hit $1 million, they're like, "Oh, this is unbelievable." My dad said, "There's more." "What do you mean there's more, Hockey?" And no, I go, "There's more. We can raise more money." And so the 1 year, and I don't know if it was Sammy Davis's first year, they were so close to $2 million. He wrote a check for $10,000. So he was there for like 3 days, and he's like, "Give me, I mean, try checkbook here, $2 million. You know, it's just the kind of man. He was unbelievable, and oh yeah, he could sing too.
That's that, John. That is so awesome. I'm glad you shared that. What year was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Because in 1965,
it was in the 90s.
Terrific.
You got me thinking now. I'll have to pull that information up, and I'll get that back to you.
All right. I know you know this information. There's stuff on your lot that's got to go, my friend. There are too many great GM vehicle Chevy vehicles on that lot at the Washington Elizabeth exit, and people need to be in them because they're great cars, they get great deals, and they get the Landoff love, but they got to go.
They got to go. We got way too many cars, way too many trucks, way too many SUVs. We really have way too many cars. We've got over 450 cars on our lot, and we have not sold near enough this month. GM is really on our case. Our prices online, nobody can come close. My wife just texted me, God, I love her. She just said the 80s.
Well, you're only a decade.
Probably 88 or 89, but I'm going to get that exact date.
You tell Mimi that it's been such a great ride. You have no idea it's been going by so fast. With her as your partner, it just seems like yesterday.
Yeah, well, she was just telling me about Sammy Davis Jr. and all
that. Yeah, right, right.
Here's the deal, man. We need to sell a lot of vehicles this weekend. And then the month isn't over until Tuesday. We got great deals. We need trade-ins. We really need used cars. 225 cruises. So, you know, check us out online or come to the dealership or give us a call at 314-837-1800. A lot of trucks. This is truck month. So, yeah, we're selling a lot of trucks, but we got to sell a lot of cars. 2017 Chevy Cruises, I think as low as 14.9. Malibu is only 18.9.
I love that car.
We've got one with your name on it. Tim Wyland's bought a couple of vehicles from me. Frank's bought several. Even Dan Strauss. Is it his nickname Titus a Mouse? No.
Yeah.
All right, man. Come and see us. It's always great talking to you.
You too, sir.
You know, Frank's never called me his friend. You just called me my friend. I appreciate that, Scott.
Well, I know.
You're a great guy.
Well, thank you. I took a little bit of a liberty, but I feel like you are one of the...
We're going to have to do lunch.
Let's do that.
Get out, do lunch. If we bring Frank, he'll pay, so we'll have to talk about that.
Okay. And one more time numbers. I know everybody knows them, but just one more time.
314-837-1800.
And 24/7 at Landoff.com.
Thanks, kids. Have
Bye, John.
Night. Everyone drive safe out there. Bye, Tim.
All right. See you, John.
Bye-bye.
John Landoff Jr., that story, that Sammy Davis story, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm Scott, that's Tim, and with David, we'll take a break. We'll be right back on the Big 550 KTRS.
Join the barbecue revolution every Sunday night from 4 to 5 p.m. on the Big 550 KTRS.
Join Frank and Kevin on the Big Barbecue Show every Sunday on the Big 550 KTRS from 4 to 5 p.m.
Message and data rates may apply.
Attention, sleepless Americans. Multiple choice. Would you rather A, fall asleep faster, B, stay asleep longer, C, wake up feeling more refreshed, or D, all of the above? If you sometimes struggle with sleep, it's an easy question. You want it all. Unfortunately, some sleep aids may make you choose. Spend the night tossing and turning, or wake up a groggy zombie. Until now. Introducing Somnipure, a top-selling sleep formula from Peak Life that helps you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up feeling more refreshed. No wonder it's flying off the shelves at CVS. And right now, we're sending a complimentary bottle to everyone who texts SLEEP to 369-369 right now. Text SLEEP to 369-369. S-L-E-E-P to 369-369.
Somnipure helps you fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and wake up feeling refreshed.
Hi, this is John Shane Mystific. You know, just about all of us have some old TV, appliance, couch, or furniture that's collecting dust and taking up space in our home. Trouble is, we don't know what to do with it or how to haul it away. Well, I have the answer. You need to call Pitchett at 314-932-1100. Pitchett is a locally owned, family-run, fully bonded and insured junk removal service for residential and commercial companies. Just give them a call at 314-932-1100, and their friendly staff will remove your unwanted items. You don't even have to lift a finger. They'll remove the item from your basement, your garage, your attic, and then clean up afterwards. Imagine what you could do with that freed up space in your home, office, or warehouse. Pitchett is an eco-friendly, recycling most items within reason, and they're available on both sides of the river. For a free estimate, call Pitchett at 314-932-1100. That's Pitchett, 314-932-1100, or visit their website at pitchitandforgetit.com. That's pitchitandforgetit.com.
Cheap and fast may work for a quick lunch or a haircut, but what it doesn't work for is floor covering. Listen to that voice that's telling you that what sounds too good to be true is a mistake. Instead, when it's time for new flooring, do it right the first time. Call a member of the Flooring Industry Council, whose Install Floor Layers have 4 years of classroom and hands-on training in all types of flooring materials, backed by companies with decades in the business and extensive experience working for St. Louis's leading businesses and homeowners. Cheap and fast may be okay for a cup of coffee and a donut, but it doesn't work for floor covering. For a list of contractors who will leave you with the assurance that you made the right decision, contact the Flooring Industry Council. Call 314-968-3522 or visit ficstl.org. Again, that's 314-968-3522 or ficstl.org.
I know you're trying to eat healthy, and sometimes you're busy with work and it's hard to eat healthy, but not if you have dynamic vending in your kitchen, in your office. Healthy options from the largest vending company in St. Louis, Dynamic Vending. They have micro markets. How would you like a salad or a wrap or maybe even a Starbucks or hummus for lunch? All available, all at no cost to the employer. Dynamic Vending will come in and revolutionize your kitchen. Dynamic Vending and micro markets. DynamicVending.com.
Hey, St. Louis. This is A.J. Cochran, center back for St. Louis FC. Join us this season at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park as we represent our city against some of the best soccer talent in the country.
The St. Louis FC season is right around the corner. Get your tickets now for all 16 home games. The first two seasons included sold-out crowds and an authentic soccer experience. There's cheering, chanting, and much more. It's a party you don't want to miss. For more information, visit stlouisfc.com.
Hey, did you know that Encore Consignment Gallery's 10,000 square foot showroom in Town and Country is the best place to sell and buy furniture and home decor items in St. Louis? You might be saying, you know what? I was there just last week. Well, you need to go again because Encore is constantly changing their inventory, and they consist of a wide variety of furniture to home decor items ranging from French country and traditional to contemporary and modern pieces. There's something for everyone at Encore. To learn more, go to EncoreSTL.net or better yet, pay them a visit at Encore Consignment Gallery.
It's Frank in the Dominican Republic. The magic of great technology. I can talk to you right now about Amini's. I think most of you think of Amini's, and this may partly be because of me, as a place where you go get pinball machines, arcade games, and jukeboxes, shuffleboard tables, pool tables, that kind of thing. And you can. They have that. I want you to start also thinking of them as the place for the finest in home furnishings. Not just patio furniture. That's their biggest category, but other rooms of the house. Dining room furniture, living room furniture, bedroom furniture. But when you're ready for the best of the best that's made, not the kind of furniture you find in your average furniture store. And they have people there who are professional designers. They will help you mix, match, whatever, customize the furniture specifically for your house and your taste. This is one tremendous store. And take everybody in the family when you go, because nobody's going to get bored at Amini's. A-M-I-N-I-S in the heart of Chesterfield Valley, Amini's.com. Meet me.
3:56 on the Big 550. It's the large morning show in the afternoon rolls on. Tim Weiland, he's getting his workout today. He's gone all the way from Dan Strauss's seat over to the KTRS traffic desk for KTRS Time Saver Traffic. What's going on, Tim?
All right, David. That was an accident that had everything backed up on westbound Highway 44. It was just between Shrewsbury and Laclede Station. That's been cleared. You're still running slow a little west of Kings Highway to west of Hampton, and then things open up after that. But we do have an incident now on southbound 55. It's just before Merrimack Bottom, and that has things backed up north of Butler Hill. Southbound 270, some slow pockets now between Page down through Doherty Ferry. Southbound 170, really stacking up from Olive down through Highway 40. And eastbound Highway 70, look for a slowdown now from about 170 in through Lucas and Hunt. And this traffic report, it's brought to you by CarMax. Drive what's possible with no haggle prices and 5-day money-back guarantee. CarMax is the stress-free way to buy your next car. CarMax, drive what's possible. I'm Tim Weiland from the KTRS Traffic Desk.
Who can take a sunrise?
Thanks to John Londa for sharing that story about his dad with the great, late Sammy Davis Jr. and all the work they did for the Variety Club. Tim, we had a call that said about Sammy Davis Jr.
A gentleman called in and said that not only was Sammy Davis a good dancer and singer, but he was the fastest draw. He said you could put a holster on him. He was the fastest draw in Hollywood. And there was even a movie where they did that, and they show, and what, I'm not sure, I should have asked what movie, but they said he could outdraw anybody in Hollywood.
Outstanding. Not only that, he has a couple of St. Louis connections. In 1965, he and Dean and Frank Sinatra were at the Kiel Auditorium for the St. Dismas House fundraiser. They found that in the vault on Father's Day of 1965. And do you know who filled in for Joey Bishop because he was sick? Johnny Carson.
Oh, that's right.
You can find that. That's got to be at Channel 9 somewhere. It's online. All right. It's 4 o'clock in St. Louis. This is the Big 550 KTRS.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bob Hardcastle, asking you to listen to my Money Talk radio program every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on KTRS 550.
Have dentures? Anybody out there thinking about getting dentures? And anybody thinking about dental implants? Well, I'm here to tell you that before you take one more step in that direction, you need to call Bowen Dental Care. At Bowen Dental Care, he will sit you down and explain all of your options when it comes to dental implants. In fact, if you have dentures right now, for the next 30 years, those dentures are going to be flopping around your mouth. It doesn't have to be like that. Some people will tell you dental implants cost $25,000, but at Bowen Dental Care, he will sit you down and explain to you that it doesn't necessarily have to cost you $25,000. There are other options for you when it comes to dental implants. Many people are calling Dr. Bowen as a first opinion, and many people are calling them as a second opinion and hearing great results. Call Bowen Dental Care for all of your dental implants needs, 314-921-3500 or Bowen Dental Care. .com.
Metro Lighting, winners of the prestigious National 2017 Arts Award for Best Showroom, is your hometown source for the latest high-quality lighting at the best price for any budget. Ultimate customer service is their number one goal. They guarantee their prices against competitors and the internet, and they offer a one-year in-home warranty. How can you go wrong? Choose local and choose the best. Choose award-winning Metro Lighting, bringing bright ideas to St. Louis for 50 years. Visit MetroLightingCenters.com for the location nearest you.
Kids borrowing the car?
Now with Home by Verizon, you can get notifications if they're driving too fast or going places they shouldn't. Find out how to make your car smarter, safer, and more connected at home.com.